Bunta Vista, episode 364. I am Ben, and I'm here in the 23rd century, journeying to worlds yet unexplored on the USS Enterprise. The United Federation of Planets mission is a noble one, to bring peace and prosperity to all the spacefaring civilizations in the galaxy who wish to join. Our technological advances and surplus of resources have given us an idyllic society that has moved beyond money, where there is housing, healthcare, and food for all. And more importantly, where the replicators can make any kind of food you want. Any kind of food at all.
Mm.
Blue whale burgers, polar bear carpaccio, ostrich feet croquettes, tamarind spaghetti, liger linguine, miniature horse sliders, dick dick tartare, beer battered sugar glider, vampire bat enchiladas, cormorant au poivre, you name it. Here, enjoying a simple meal of mashed potatoes and pulled penguin, it's kind of a fish-looking guy. It's Theo.
Hey, how you doing?
Bud. Oh, I'm great. How are you going? You look like you're having a wonderful meal there.
Well, yeah. Have you ever had penguin before?
I've never had penguin, and I've never had pulled penguin. You wouldn't think that it would get that fork tender, like that it would just
Yeah, but they've got a lot of that. They're actually quite marbled.
They would be, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
I wonder if you could see... We probably wouldn't be able to get a cross section of penguin meat just by Google image searching.
Penguin cross. What do you mean I'm a fishy looking guy?
Oh, like because you're an alien from Star Trek, so you're like a man plus some bits.
Yeah.
So like you've got a few.
Yeah, really additive, aren't they? The sort of Star Trek aliens.
Well, they can't be subtractive.
No.
Just due to how human faces are.
Yeah.
I guess. Well, sometimes they'll take the nose off, but then you can sort of see a bump.
Yeah.
Where they're covering
I've
up
never
the nose.
Seen Star Trek, so I'm going to take your word for it. But
you've never seen like a minute of Star Trek?
No.
Huh.
Actually, yes. One time when I was probably 8 or 9, I was supposed to be asleep. I woke up and I went out to the living room and my parents were watching Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan. It was the bit where like they're trying to put like an earwig in William Shatner's ear.
Mm-hmm.
So I have seen that.
Okay.
And that kind of just gave me nightmares for the foreseeable future.
Yeah.
Because he's like writhing around there trying to like get an earwig in his ear.
So yeah, you've seen some. So you sort of
I've
get
the gist
of it.
Yeah. Earwig. Big earwig show.
Andrew's posted a picture in the chat that is purportedly someone offering to trade penguin meat on like Facebook Marketplace or whatever.
Okay.
That looks more like maybe like a lamb backstrap to me.
It's like a tenderloin, right?
Yeah. Sort of a long strip of red meat. I don't think penguin meat would be red.
I'm enjoying the title on this. Trade penguin meat for 3 question marks. Really leaving himself open to barter here.
Yeah. I'm open to whatever you've got. Man, really, you can Google what color is penguin meat and you'll get basically nothing. What is the point of Google now?
What do you mean you just got back from an Antarctic hunting trip and have an insane amount of
I think this is someone doing one of those things where they post a joke listing to a website.
Yeah.
Frederick A. Cook, surgeon on the Belgica expedition, quote, "It is rather difficult to describe its taste and appearance. We have absolutely no meat with which to compare it. The penguin, as an animal, seems to be made up of an equal proportion of a mammal, fish, and fowl. If it is possible to imagine a piece of beef, an odoriferous codfish."
Odoriferous codfish, yeah.
Odoriferous. There's an R there after the D.
I think that's a typo.
No, I think he's come up with a beautiful new word. He's not even close. An odoriferous codfish and a canvasback duck roasted in a pot with a blood and cod liver oil for sauce. The illustration will be complete. Well, I think that makes it pretty clear.
And you can have this on Star Trek.
Odoriferous, yeah. Also with me, tucking into a croque monsieur topped with chameleon bacon, it's sort of a weird looking guy. It's Andrew. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, isn't it crazy that there's like so many planets out there, but I've got 2 legs and 2 arms and a forehead and 2 eyes and a nose, but like these kind of bulbous bits of flesh on my forehead. Doesn't that make me look weird and different to you?
The first time we, the United Federation of Planets, saw you, we went, oh my God, how can I understand this? This is
Can't
so beyond
comprehend.
My experience.
He has like some of these sort of spotted flecks on his skin, just kind of around his temples.
but like you'll say stuff occasionally where you're like, oh yes, but my species has three hearts. Mm-hmm. Or, oh, my stomach is in my shoulders. We're like, wow, this guy is an alien.
That's crazy.
He's so weird.
It's crazy all the weirdest stuff is on the inside where I can't see it.
Yeah. That's true about people often as well.
His irises are a different color to the ones that humans usually have. Yeah.
He's got cat eyes. Hey, these physiological differences in space, they're very regional. Other things are regional, and we look at those in regional bullshit.
Regional bullshit. Every little town has got their own bullshit. Regional bullshit. Every little town has just got to have it.
This comes to us from KPNX in
Show
Arizona.
Show me your penix.
Get your penix out. 70 years after the show began, fans of the Wallace and Ladmo show can relive the memories.
Finally.
Yeah.
Finally.
Things just haven't been the same since Wallace and Ladmo
yeah.
went away.
Yeah. Rips or goodbye.
They left.
Phoenix. Well. Phoenix residents under 40 just don't know what they missed.
No.
Now, I'm over 40, but I'm not a resident of Phoenix, so I got no fucking idea what's happening.
Yeah. The Wallace and Ladmo show was on the air for 35 years. This year is the 70th anniversary of the sketch comedy and musical show, and the Sunny Slope Historical Society has set up an exhibit honoring its place in Phoenix history. Quote, "The impact is crazy. It's like a cultural phenomenon," Julia Taggart said. She's too young to remember the show, but she organized the anniversary exhibit. Why'd you get a non-fan?
Yeah, well, like, it's a cultural phenomenon, or so other people have told me.
Yeah, I didn't
know
about it.
Don't really care for it.
I didn't get to watch it. Sounds kind of dull, but here it is. Quote, "People will spend like 4 hours here talking about the show, you know, and we're not usually open for 4 hours." You get a couple of Wallace and Ladmo heads going, riffing about their favorite Wallace and Ladmo bits and the stuff Wallace and Ladmo would satirize if they were around today, and they will just talk and talk and talk.
Oh, you can only imagine what Wallace and Ladmo would have to say about Donald Trump.
Yeah, and Biden, because, you know, they were sort of equal opportunity sketch show
sketch parodists. Yeah. Every picture of this that I'm looking at is making me like kind of irrationally mad.
Yeah,
it looks like it. Now, number one, it has like an incredibly British feel to all the photos of it that I can see.
Yeah,
it looks for all the world like a god awful bit of like BBC programming from 1959.
Yeah.
I don't know why it looks so much like that.
To understand the craze, you have to go back to the 1950s when more shows that aired on TV were made locally. Bill Thompson was Wallace. Vladimir Kwiatkowski was Ladmo. And Pat McMahon was almost everyone else. But he was best known as a spoiled little rich boy, Gerald.
Okay.
I bet that was funny. Pat McMahon, a grown man, playing a little spoiled little rich boy named Gerald.
Well, I think I am looking at the character of Gerald right now, and Gerald is dressed almost exactly like, you know, in The Simpsons when Bart's got the little lollipop and the straw boater, or like when Mr. Burns is shown as a young man.
Yeah.
And he's got his like pantalones and his like curly hair. Are you struggling to picture this, Ben?
No, I'm enjoying pantalones as a word. That's
pantalones. And he's got his like frilly cuffs and all that jazz. Except this guy also has a blonde short bob wig. So imagine Edna from The Incredibles. Same glasses as Edna from The Incredibles as well, for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
I'm starting to think that Edna from The Incredibles was based on this guy from the Wallace and Ladmo show.
He looks like Sia as portrayed by the guy from Little Shop of Horrors.
Rick Moranis?
Rick Moranis.
He looks like blonde olive oil.
Yeah, looks like Sia from like a being portrayed on a 2018 episode of Saturday Night Live.
Yes. One of the most popular parts of the show was the Ladmo bag.
Oh.
Just a lot going on in the 50s, wasn't
takes
there?
Me back hearing about the Ladmo bag.
Oh my god. I wanted a Ladmo bag so bad. It was filled with candy and prizes. Only a few kids in the audience got one.
So there's kids in the audience? Is it a children's show?
I guess. Wait, what? Hang on.
I mean, so everybody's
it was
a
live. It's a live
stupid.
Show. It was a live show. There was a kids show.
Yeah.
Is it Arizona's Hey Hey It's Saturday? Is that?
I don't think it's a variety show in that sense. Mm. I don't. Now, this is very confusing. Quote, that's what every kid in Arizona wanted. I still want one, Taggart said. So this is Julia Taggart, who, I don't know if you remember from three paragraphs earlier, the story says is too young to remember the show.
But it's all I could think about.
So you've only known about it as an adult and you want the bag full of candy?
Yeah, I got news for you.
They sell them.
You can go get shops. Candy.
Go to Dollar General. Go to Dollar Tree.
Get a brown paper bag. You can do this at home. Get a brown paper bag and literally write on it with a Sharpie, Ladmo bag.
Ladmo
and
bag.
Now you have perfectly reproduced the prop from the show.
You know what? Write on it, Julia bag, because that's yours. That's your bag full of candy. Besides being a kid's show, Wallace and Ladmo became a major player in television. Photos on the wall show Liberace, Barry Goldwater, and rock star Alice Cooper.
Yeah. I see this.
Alice Cooper, who won a Ladmo bag? Probably a lifetime highlight for Alice Cooper was winning a Ladmo bag.
This show has 9.1 out of 10 on IMDb.
Wait, what's with that, the really fucked up looking puppet of Gerald?
Yeah, there's Gerald. He's got the big glasses and the wig, and then there's also a puppet of Gerald that also has the glasses and the wig and
two
tiny little eyes.
Evil eyes, like piss holes in the snow.
Looks like a sort of Muppet from the Dark Dimension, you know?
Yes.
Looks like an evil Muppet has come through a portal.
From the Mirror Universe.
Mm-hmm.
From the Muppet Terran Dominion.
You know? I don't know why. I was reading a whole bunch the other day about how Jim Henson was like on the first season of SNL. I think it was because that movie has come out called Saturday Night, that's like a little sort of hagiographic. Hagiographic,
I think, yeah.
Take of the origins of Saturday Night Live. And so Jim Henson was on the first season of Saturday Night Live and had like a recurring weekly sketch with the same characters in it. But he could only do the puppetry and perform the thing. He wasn't allowed to be involved with writing the sketches.
Huh.
And they were like, oh, we want to have the puppets sucking and fucking each other. And he was like, I'm Jim Henson. That's not my bag.
That's not in the spirits of the puppets. Puppets don't do that.
Well, Jim Henson doesn't make evil puppets.
Yeah.
He would fucking shit if he saw some of the movies we're making these days.
Oh, society's fucking sick. We'll make puppets do anything.
Anything at all. It's not even funny.
The exhibit has memorabilia from everywhere because when the show went off air in 1989, people saved the pieces. Quote, collectors will say, I have that piece. I have that piece. I have that piece.
Collectors
I don't have
are always
that piece.
Saying that.
I want that piece.
Hey, what pieces you got? Well, this one, that one. I don't have those ones, though.
I want that one. I'll kill you. Give me that. Give me that from the show. Give me that from Wallace and Ladmo.
Give me that now.
It's a really fun way to imagine all conversations between passionate collectors taking place, is that they both get in a room and one of them says, okay, I've got this one.
Yeah.
I've got this one. I've got this one. First, I'm going to list off every piece of memorabilia that I do have of, the 1970s Star Wars merchandise. After about 2 hours of that, I will start listing all the ones I don't have, and then it's your turn.
Yeah,
and then
we
can
kind of
wrap our business up
long.
Here.
It's kind of like how kids interact.
Yes.
I have this of Hot Wheels. I have this of Hot Wheels. I have this of Matchbox Car. I would like this of Hot Wheels.
We'd all like that of Hot Wheels.
I would like to have this of Matchbox Car. Also in the exhibit is the evolution of the Ladmo bags. So they start off as like a really little bag that can't do much.
Yeah.
Evolve into sort of a slightly larger, cooler looking one. And then by the third evolution,
they're talking about exoskeleton. Yeah, they become crap.
Right. Yeah. And they get kind of weapons or something. From the evolution of handmade bags to the printed bags later on. That seems like a step down to me. Isn't a handmade bag better than a printed, sort of just mass-produced one?
Well, they only just got the printer or something.
True.
Gutenberg at this time.
And all that. And then there's the guest book where people sign their names and remember a part of their childhood that was one of a kind. Quote, you know, it meant so much to people. Even after it stopped airing, it's still a huge part of their life, Taggart said.
What the fuck are you talking about?
What do you mean? In what way?
The fuck are you talking about?
In what way is Wallace and Ladmo part of their day-to-day life, like 40 years after it aired?
She doesn't really know.
Well, yeah, it's because she wasn't alive for that.
People tell me it's a big deal, whatever it is they're talking about.
Yeah. The exhibit opens on Saturday, September 14th at 11 a.m. at 737 East Hatcher Road in Phoenix. Good normal address there.
Yeah.
Well done.
How long is it running for, does it say? Will we have time to get out there?
Oh, time to catch it? Fuck, I could have probably... No, I got back just after it. Just after it. Or just before it opened. Yeah, shame.
You should have come to this knowledge before you left America.
Yeah, if only. You could probably, a lot of what we were talking about there was sort of photos that we were looking at, but you can probably listen to our words and picture it in your mind. Unless you can't, it's time for Aphantasia Watch. Now, I've been doing a bit of reading because I think, I'm a little worried that sometimes... You know, we're just trying to make people laugh. That's all the show is about. And sometimes we'll sort of make fun of things that we think are a little silly. But I like to think we do it with affection, that it's coming from a good place. But I worry sometimes we're a little mean about some things. And I know that, Theo, we make fun of you a lot for your inability to picture things inside your mind's eye, your aphantasia. Yeah. And so I was doing a little bit of reading just to try and see like what people with aphantasia are actually going through sort of on a day-to-day basis and to see what resources there are out there.
Yes.
And so, of course, I ended up looking at the Aphantasia Network, which is sort of like an advocacy group for people that have aphantasia. Did you guys know, if you had to guess, how old would you say that word is, aphantasia? Aphantasia. Like who coined it and when? Or don't guess who, but like
36 years.
I'm gonna go Price is Right mode and say I think less than 20 years old. How about that?
Nine years old. It was coined by someone in 2015. Isn't that fucking crazy? Like we knew about the phenomenon, but we didn't have a word for it until 2015.
Yeah.
Couldn't picture it.
We had a lot. It was like we were gonna get to it eventually.
Yeah.
As far as things that were affecting people are important.
Yeah, we come up with all the other words for the more important stuff first, and then we'll get around to this one. But, you know, now that there is...
diabetes.
There is a word for it.
We could get by saying, oh, you've got no imagine stuff mode?
Yeah. You've got no apple brain?
No apple brain?
No apple brain.
Oh, you're apple-less in there, huh?
There are some great... resources on the aphantasia
resources
on their website. The one of my favorite things here, you know what, I wouldn't normally do this, but I feel like we don't have Lucy here, and that actually makes us have the perfect amount of people. Oh, can I show you guys, just have a look in the chat there. I want you to see perhaps my favorite diagram that I have ever seen. Theo, if you could describe that for us.
All right. Okay, so it's a black image. The heading at the top is "Imagine a horse," and there is.
Me too. Right, also, I've done
so
that
fast.
As well.
So there is a space where a horse would be.
A horse-shaped void.
Horse-shaped void, with labels for where the parts would be, pointing to where the parts would be. That kind of forms a join-the-dots sort of horse. So
yes,
you've got a head
yes.
and an arrow to where the head would be. Nostrils and arrows to where the nostrils would be.
Very much evoking a join the dots for me too.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
And at the bottom, for people with aphantasia, it's the idea of a horse that matters, not the visual.
That is so true.
That is so true.
They focus on what really matters, the idea of a horse.
Yeah. Like, if you were to ask me to picture a horse, I would be thinking the word horse.
Yes. Horse. Picture and a horse. Horse.
What kind of font?
Oh, he can't picture the font. Don't be rude.
Oh, fuck. Well, so what? The words just floating there ghostily?
It's
no,
the
idea it's of the word.
No, the word's not floating there. I can't see that either.
Okay, well, you said that like it's ridiculous. That's what we're imagining. You've asked me to now picture a word instead of the horse, and I'm picturing the word.
Picturing the word horse.
White,
I'm
Times
picturing
New Roman.
Yeah.
On a black background.
A serif font, yep.
Yeah, serif. Oh, definitely serif.
It's just kind of
so
waving
you guys can
a
close
little
your...
bit like a flag in a really gentle breeze.
Yes.
You guys can close your eyes and see the word horse. Am I?
Don't even have to close my eyes.
No, I'm picturing it right now.
Like, it's one of the things that I'm quite unsure if...
I think the limits of language make this a very hard thing to discuss.
I know. I'm just wondering whether everyone is taking the piss and no one could actually see anything when they close their eyes.
Theo, right at this second, I can hold and rotate three different apples independently. They are different kinds of apples. There's a Granny Smith in the middle. There's a Red Delicious on the left.
Mm-hmm.
It's burnished. There's some little flecks of green in the skin. On the right is a new kind of apple that I bought from the market the other day called Sassy.
Oh.
Like a bit narrower at the bottom, kind of an interesting shape, and all of them are spinning at the same speed. Only the Red Delicious has a little leaf coming off the bit of stem, still coming out the top. It's so easy. It's right there.
Still working on picturing horse.
They all look like they've been rendered in Unreal Engine 5.
No, I mean, I was closing my eyes, and you know when you kind of, when you've looked at a light for a little time and you close your eyes and you can see the inverse of it, or you know, it's sort of the burnt into your retinas a little bit, right?
The after images of like the light parts of what you were seeing before.
That's about the best I can hope for.
Yeah. But that's different. That's not the same as seeing with your mind's eye.
No, I know, but like if I close my eyes, I can kind of almost get like the indent of like the smallest amount of circle to represent an apple.
Like someone has drawn an apple on a piece of paper and then removed the piece of paper, then you've taken an impression of what was there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Still don't know if people can see things when they close their eyes.
Oh, no, we definitely can. Wink! What I wanted to do is there's a little script here for having... one of the most important conversations that an aphant, as they call themselves, I found that out this week. That's fun. On /aphantasia, they call themselves.
We
got to
get some slurs going for aphants.
Yuck, aphanto.
Well, that's people who can picture stuff. I think aphantos because we're fantasic.
Oh.
If you guys could scroll to the top of the document, I've pasted a little script here now.
Okay.
Theo, if you could read out the parts of Alex.
Yes.
Andrew, if you could be Jordan and I'll be Taylor.
Beautiful.
We'll do a little short play here on the podcast.
I'm just hold on a second. I'm just going to picture in my mind's eye what Jordan looks like.
I'm going to picture my character and your character and Theo's character. I'm going to actually picture the scene and an entire set.
What race is your guy?
I am Taiwanese.
Oh. You wouldn't know.
And you won't be able
you
to tell.
You wouldn't know.
What? I can still see.
Ben's not currently Taiwanese. You'd have to imagine him as such.
But I could be in the future.
Yeah. Hey, everyone. There's something I've been wanting to share with you. I recently discovered that I have aphantasia.
Aphant what?
Aphantasia. It means I can't visualize images in my mind. You know when people say, picture this or imagine a beach? I literally can't see anything. It's just blank.
Hey, what age does the beach make you?
You can't picture that either. Wait, so when you read a book, you don't see the scenes playing out in your mind?
Exactly. I understand the story, the emotions, and the concepts, but I don't see it. I think more in words, feelings, and ideas rather than pictures.
That sounds so strange. Everyone can picture things in their mind, right? Maybe you're just not trying hard enough.
Yeah. I used to think the same, that maybe I wasn't concentrating enough. But after reading more about it and taking some tests...
We could do the tests on the show as well if you like. We've
got a couple of hours.
I realize it's just how my brain works.
There's a couple.
Okay. I can think of one.
Yeah.
It's not about trying. It's just different.
So if I ask you to think of the color blue or the face of a loved one, you see nothing?
Nothing. I know what blue is, and I recognize faces when I see them in real life. Okay. I wonder whether... my aphantasia, if that's actually a thing that is that separates me from other people and not just something that is that I'm being pranked on globally.
You think I invented this? You globally think I wrote pranked. This script?
I mean, it'd just be a fun thing to do, right? For everyone else to agree that they can picture something in their mind.
There's one guy who can't.
I have a lot of trouble with faces. Not yeah. Like, you know, I know my friends' faces and you know, I can mostly recognize people, but if there's people that I haven't seen for a while and I run into them, I have a lot of trouble knowing whether it's somebody that I should say hello to or not. It just happened like yesterday, like one of my friend's wife, like I walked past someone who looked just like her, I think, but I'm like, I'm not going to stop to say hello because what if that's not her?
Oh, did you do the pro move of pretending like you got like your phone buzzed just before you're about to walk past so you had full plausible deniability for
well,
not looking at her face?
Well, unfortunately, my phone is so practical that it would just draw more attention to myself. She goes,
oh, true. Is that guy holding a tiny bug?
So let's say your beautiful wife is kidnapped by the Albanian terrorists from the movie Taken.
Yes.
And the police say, describe your wife's face.
Yeah.
How's that working out for you in the police station?
Probably, I'm picturing your wife's face right now.
I probably need someone to help me.
Okay. It's
round.
Circle, smiley face, dot, dot.
I mean, you know what color her hair is.
Yeah.
You could describe her haircut from memory, surely.
Yeah, I could.
Describe some discrete components and see if some enterprising soul down at the police station can put them together.
Yeah, probably.
Maybe
anyway.
They got like a Mr. Potato Head thing you could.
Yeah. Like, I can pick her out of a lineup. Love that.
Are we back to the script?
We're all
back
on this journey together.
Yeah, you're at Alex.
I can't conjure up an image in my mind.
But how do you dream?
I don't often dream, but when I do, my dreams are more about feelings and ideas. They're not as visually or sensory rich as most people describe their dreams. But I understand that some people that fantasia can have vivid dreams. We're not all the same.
Sounds fake.
This is so fascinating. I never realized that people experience the world in such different ways.
I'm still finding it hard to believe. It sounds like you're making it up. And
it
that's
like
in the script.
You're
that's
making
me.
It up.
That's not me. Sounds like you specifically are making it up.
I understand it might sound strange, but it's a real thing. there are many people out there with aphantasia. It's just not that commonly talked about here because it doesn't matter.
It's like bisexuality. Hundreds, who cares?
Hundreds of replies that I have received on the rotating cow tweet. You know, picture a cow in your mind. We're like, I can't. I have aphantasia. It's like, who cares?
Yeah.
I don't care. Why are you telling me this?
Wait, so
what am I supposed to do with this information?
When you tweeted that, you were
lying?
You were lying? That tweet was found in a lie? You can't rotate a cow in your mind? You just tweeted that based on your sort of general idea that other people can do it?
Yeah.
Perhaps he was living out a fantasy of being able to do it.
That's incredible.
He's just trying to fit in.
Yeah.
Look, if you're an author, if you're a writer, you can write a Bosnian character without being Bosnian.
Yes.
That's so true.
There's so much information out there about people being able to picture things in their minds that I could just.
So you're going to say there's so much information about Bosnians.
about being Bosnian.
Bosnia is very well documented.
I hope you can trust my experience, even if it's different from yours.
I believe you, Alex. Everyone's mind is unique after all.
Well, Taylor is a very understanding friend. Jordan, on the other hand.
Jordan sucks deluxe.
I'm sorry, it's just hard to wrap my head around it. But I trust you, and I'll read up more on it.
Thanks, Jordan. It means a lot. I just want to share this part of me with you.
It is so dope to have a script for coming out as an aphant. Coming out as aphant to your family. Man,
yeah, there's a different part of you I want you to share with me, and I'm picturing it in my mind right now.
Yeah. Yep.
You're rotating my genitals.
Anyway, the reason that I'm talking about this is because they have merch. So I think I just wanted to describe, Theo, a couple of shirts we might be able to get you.
Yeah.
So
I really like the first one.
Yeah. We should get you this.
I ironically like the first one.
So let me describe it for the listener. There's a cloud or sort of a thought bubble, actually. Sorry. Because he's got the trailing dots leading up to the cloud.
Unless it's a cloud and he's like farting. He's crop dusting.
True. Farting cloud or thought bubble, wearing high socks and a sort of sporty shoe. And then above it, in a very 70s sort of round serif kind of font, it says image-free thinking.
For anybody who has kids, perhaps a touch point for you is that he is very evocative of the cloud from the Trolls movie.
Okay. Huh. I'm getting a very Cuphead vibe from this, which of course is, you know.
Yeah, meant to be evocative of a sort of old world 1930s. Animation. 1930s. Yeah. Second shirt we've got here is just a black shirt with a white font that looks a little bit like maybe Agency FB, hard to tell. And in all caps, it just says, think of a horse. That's a pretty good shirt.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned.
It doesn't communicate anything to me about the aphantasia of the wearer of the shirt, though, because when I see that, I'm just like, cool, look, nice horsey. It's a Palomino.
Yeah.
It's a Palomino, you know, brown and white spotted.
You get to choose?
That's what it is today. Sometimes it might be one of those, like, you know, the Arabians with the insanely glossy coats.
Oh, beautiful. Ooh. The brain fills in the details. That's one of the tests, actually. We can do this right now.
Can we do the tests, please? Well,
yeah, let's do one of the tests. All right, so...
I need to know.
picture someone rolling a ball off a table. Mm-hmm. Can you do that, Theo?
Yep.
Now, where does the ball end up when it's rolled off the table?
It's sort of, unfortunately, the ball is kind of rolled like 45 degrees off the table and it's landed over here somewhere.
Okay, great. Now, what did the person look like who rolled the ball?
The fuck are you talking about? The table is like barely a concept at this in my mind.
It's like the untextured 3D shapes of like Porus Dervat. Like there's
waiting for the rest of the textures to pop in, right?
Okay, so you have aphantasia because the question there is meant to get you to be like, oh, it was a guy dressed as like a billiards player and it was a green felt table and it was a red ball. Yeah.
I was picturing a red rubber ball.
I thought you were passing because I could kind of visualize like a negative image of where the ball sort of went.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can do spatial reasoning, but your brain's not creating the vivid imagery that the rest of us get.
This is so mean.
Yeah. There's a mug that they sell that just says, I'm aphantasic this morning.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't want that because I don't want to be striking up conversation.
No, people ask you about it.
Yeah. Don't ask me to describe a mental image before I've had my coffee.
Yeah, yes. We should send them some ideas.
Or after.
There's the final one here. So it's a brain. He's wearing the same socks and shoe combo as the thought bubble was. He's holding, I'm going to say maybe a thick shake.
Yeah.
And it says, no mind's eye, but I can still sit. But I could still, hang on, no mind's eye, but can still see through your bullshit.
And the U on the bull has like an asterisk instead of the U. We're not brave enough to write bullshit on a shirt.
Yeah. But they've still got shit.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's a strange editorial choice. That's kind of the wrong
part of the word.
Also, the brain has sunglasses.
Yeah.
Well, indicating he's outside that he's the blind.
Is this one from the same? Is this one from the same people as the first one? Because the knobbly knees and the shoes are very, very similar.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Design.
They're all
from the aphantasia network. Yeah. Also, it looks like there's a star next to the no on the no mind's eye,
like as it's if they're be saying a disclaimer.
Like, yeah, like well, it might just be a diminished mind's eye, not none. Well, we all learned a lot about ourselves.
Was there another test?
And about Theo. There is, but it's much longer. And
okay.
It's probably meaner.
We can take this offline.
All right.
We've learned about nerd stuff. How about we learn about some jock stuff in Sports Watch? Now, this comes to us from MLB.com, Major League Baseball.com. Which of these MILB identities deserves an award? It's up to you.
Huh?
MILB.
I've chosen to say MILB. I don't think people say MILB. This is capital M, lowercase I, capital L, capital B, which I believe is minor league baseball.
Yeah.
MILB. The 2024 MILB Awards will be broadcast on MLB Network on September 30th at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, and you have seen which team will go home winners of the best alternate identity category.
What?
Voting is open here until September 23rd at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. And, of course, you can purchase gear featuring your favorites. Let's look at the nominees.
What are we doing here?
We're looking at alternate identities.
Alternate identities.
Yeah. First up, we have the Wichita Chili Buns. They're normally the Wichita Wind Surge, AA affiliate of the Twins. Hearty Midwestern fare doesn't get heartier than the chili bun. A big bowl of chili topped with a frosted cinnamon roll. The Wind Surge paid tribute to this sweet and savory concoction over two games in April, wearing red jerseys with a vintage diner aesthetic and a hat featuring the filling foodstuff in question.
So, hold on. I'm still trying to understand what the fuck we are talking about. Theo's busily trying to picture.
I'm getting like
food. Still picturing a horse.
I'm up to the chili bun. I'm like,
best alternate identity category: the Wichita Chili Buns, which is the Wichita Wind Surge, which is a AA affiliate of the Twins.
Right. So they're the minor league affiliate team of, I think that's the Minnesota Twins, in the double A division of minor league,
which stars in Kansas, though.
That is true, yeah. Huh. Confusing, huh?
And then, so the Wind Surge, terrible name.
Yeah, not good.
Is the Wichita Chili Buns there, like, so do they have a game every now and then where they come out and they go, oh, we're a different team. We've got the costume of a different team on.
That's exactly correct. That's this is their alternate identity that they come out in sometimes.
Okay. I identify as a Wichita chili bun, they're all saying.
Yeah.
And that's beautiful.
And then everyone's laughing because, you know, it's Wichita, so they're probably all conservative, and that's probably the best joke they've ever heard.
Yes. Yeah. They love that shit.
They're laughing, and then they're like,
I'm laughing, but I'm also very angry. Kill them!
So, big bowl of chili and a frosted cinnamon roll on it. I'm going to say, thumbs down.
I reckon it might slap.
Do you think they're kind of going for like a Skyline Chili kind of thing? Because Skyline Chili's got cinnamon in it?
Everyone wants to capture the magic of Skyline Chili, but no one else can.
You're trying to do a deconstructed Skyline Chili on me, Wichita Chili Buns.
I think technically that we're talking about a Cincinnati chili, not a Skyline chili. Also makes a Cincinnati chili. We don't give props to brands here. Next nominee is the Chattanooga Wreckers, who are usually the Chattanooga Lookouts, the AA Reds affiliate team. Did you know an enterprising Chattanoogan named Ernest Holmes Sr. invented the wrecker, a predecessor to the tow truck, by attaching a chain, pulley, and poles to his 1913 Cadillac?
Okay.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And I would love to see an image of that. Mark, can we bring that up on screen? A photo of that, Mark?
There we go.
The Lookouts saluted Holmes' ingenuity and the city's subsequent role in the towing industry by playing 6 games this season as the Wreckers.
No special food?
No, just like a cool car that a guy made.
What the fuck?
I want to know who was the first one to attach one of those bad boys to an ATM.
Mm. Yeah, true. We should celebrate that.
Yeah.
I guess you had to wait for the ATM to be invented first.
Yeah. To steal an ATM, you must first invent the ATM.
Oh, hell yeah. Okay.
Mr. ATM imagining, oh, damn, those fuckers would have so much money at them. Dragged them away with a hook and pulley.
I hope they never invent a very big car.
Oh, there it is. There's the Ernest W. Holmes Senior tow truck.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, that's pretty cool. That's a classy vehicle.
Yeah, it's quite a rig he's got on the back there.
Yeah, and you can just picture this in your mind's eye. Mm-hmm. We have the Winston-Salem Hype Hens.
The Winston-Salem Hype Hens.
Now, they are usually called the Winston-Salem Dash, and they are the high A affiliate of the White Sox. Last season,
high
the Dash...
A is different to double A?
I think, yeah, I guess.
Not as good as double A, I think, probably, right?
Last season, the Dash played as the Hyphens, finally acknowledging that the punctuation mark between Winston and Salem is not a dash, but a hyphen. So they called the Winston-Salem Dash as a misnomer because of the dash, because of the hyphen in Winston-Salem. And to correct that, the alternate identity they played as last year was the Hyphens.
I suppose you've got to think of something to do while you're playing, watching baseball, right?
While you're in the outfield, while you're out in right field. You got fucking nothing to do. This year brought the Hype Hens, but it's not just a play on words. This lively
it
look
sounds a lot like a play on words. Fuck.
This lively look was inspired by the foul ball chicken dance party that the Dash hosted in 2023. The foul ball. That's actually quite good. As a pud.
Oh.
Because it's like a foul ball, but it's the foul ball where it's a chicken-themed dance.
Chicken dance party.
You got to give them props for that.
I don't know. This is too deep for me. There's too many layers.
We are like 4 layers deep at this point.
Yeah. What about a funny animal?
Yeah.
What if your team was an animal from outside? That everyone could get behind.
Think of one animal. Think of an animal right
Barracuda.
Now.
Barracuda.
Perfect. The Winston-Salem Barracudas.
The Winston-Salem Barracudas.
And you know what song plays when they get a home run?
That's right. It's Barracuda.
Yeah. The chicken dance party was followed this year by the installation of a chicken coop on the outfield concourse.
Okay.
Sweet.
So, really, okay, so you guys can picture stuff in your head. Can yes. you, what's your audio imagination like?
Perfect. I can hear every yeah. bit of a song when I hear every it. Every bit?
Okay, good.
Yeah. I can hear the crack of the bat. I can hear the crowd getting excited as the ball like soars over towards the chicken coop. But everybody's yeah. kind of hoping that the ball doesn't hit the
I was just thinking coop. That yeah, maybe yeah. one sense diminishes and another one increases, and that I would have maybe that over you guys that, like, you know, but apparently not. That's not
No, I can hear the excited crowd. I can hear the organ playing.
There are people with aphantasia that also don't have, they can't like imagine audio in their mind, hear audio in their mind.
All right.
That's actually a really good allegory for, maybe not allegory, what am I looking for? But like, because people with aphantasia struggle to understand what other people mean when fans like us say that they can see stuff. They're like, what, that it's like in front of your vision? And like,
I don't struggle to see it. I understand the concept.
But some people that aren't new, like whenever you see this discussed on the internet, people get very confused about
aphantasic it. Aphantasic people can be dumb too. We've got to give them that agency.
Stupids. Aphants, you are beautiful. But I think being like, if you could think about a song in your mind and sort of hear it, that's a good comparison, I think. We have the Jersey Diners.
Okay.
Usually Diners. The Somerset Patriots, AA Yankees team. Okay. New Jersey is home to more diners than any other state. And the Somerset Patriots are located in the center of it all.
What color is their jersey? Is it white? Are they getting food on those things?
You get tomato sauce.
You getting tomato sauce on those jerseys?
Yeah. You get a rich tomato gravy all over your baseball whites.
Oh.
Scamadosh. You reckon that's more per capita or more in total? Because New Jersey is not big.
It's not big, but there's quite a few people live there.
Quite a few Italians. The chrome-topped Jersey Diner's identity features a smiling coffee cup as its primary logo, with secondary marks that pay tribute to pancakes, steak, and eggs, and the Garden State sandwich staple known as the Happy Waitress.
Hold
Are
on.
You familiar with the Happy Waitress?
This sounds like bullshit to me, Ben. New Jersey is considered by many meaningless. That's fucking meaningless. Yeah. New Jersey is considered by many to be the diner capital of the world. An unofficial New Jersey diner coalition estimates that there are around 450 diners in the state, more per capita than any other state in the U.S. We're stretching here.
Yeah.
We're stretching to be calling New Jersey the dineriest place.
Because like it would probably also be like California, right? Just because it's the most, one of the most populous. New York, maybe. Who knows?
Well, New York, they're going to those bodegas.
They are. It's part of their community.
Yeah. New Jersey is one of the most educated states in the U.S. They're sending those Italians to university.
That's dangerous.
I guess they are. We have the Great Lakes Pontooners. They're normally the Great Lakes Loons. Now, there's naming your team after a good animal. That's a good one.
Yeah, but the pontoons?
Pontoons
just sort of like a bit of... It's just a bit of walkway over water, right?
Yeah, it's like a small pier.
Yeah, small pier.
I consider you a small peer. Because I see us as equals. They are the High A affiliate team of the Dodgers. As their name makes clear, the Midland, Michigan-based Great Lakes Loons play in close proximity to water. Okay. Their pontooners' identity celebrates the pleasure boats that are popular throughout the region, as few things are more relaxing than lounging on a lake. The primary logo features an anthropomorphic pontoon.
Oh, a say pontoon, that three is, a times pontoon fast. Is a boat.
Yeah. What? A pontoon is not a boat.
Pontoon boat. A flat-bottomed boat supported by one or two more pontoons.
Oh, well, I mean, it's a style of boat that is named after what a pontoon is.
But they're talking about the boat.
Are they?
I don't know. Let's see.
A pontoon boat is a flattish boat that relies on floats to remain buoyant.
Yeah, because it's like a pontoon.
A pontoon is like something that you would lie on in the sunshine if you were a character in the Stephen King story, The Raft.
Unfamiliar. So yeah, it is.
You got to read that one, Ben. You got to read that one.
You guys should check out the logo for the Great Lakes Pontooners. It is indeed a pontoon boat. He's very angry, and he has a man inside him.
Can we see if the man is angry too?
The man is waving in a very friendly way. Or he's holding a beer up, maybe?
Well, yeah, that'd be a beer.
Mark, can we enhance that?
Yeah.
I think he's holding a beer. Hell yeah, brother. Oh, he is. That's fantastic. Man, America. Fantastic. The Biloxi King Cakes. They are usually the Biloxi Shuckers, AA affiliate of the Brewers. Mm-hmm. Biloxi is home to the largest and longest running Mardi Gras celebration in all of Mississippi. The Shuckers King Cakes identity celebrates the spirit of Carnival.
Oh.
And specifically, one of the foods associated with it. King Cakes are customizable desserts made with a cinnamon roll style dough. The Shuckers Virgin clutches a bat and is topped with yellow, green, and purple frosting. Batter up.
I guess.
Yeah. And lastly, we have the Spokane King Carl. Who are usually the Spokane Indians, a High A Rockies affiliate. Carl Maxey.
They've changed their name from something racist.
That is true.
That is always a bonus, isn't it?
Carl Maxey, a Gonzaga boxing standout turned prominent trial lawyer and civil rights leader, made his mark in Spokane and beyond. Over the course of a groundbreaking 46-year career, the Indians honored his life and legacy with their King Carl identity. Its Easter egg-laden primary logo depicts a crown-bedecked boxing glove.
A crown-bedecked boxing glove. So a boxing glove wearing a crown? Is
that what yes. Yeah, bedecked to me implies like sort of lots of something. Like if you're bedecked.
Like bedazzled.
Yeah, if you've been bedazzled by a crown.
You wouldn't catch me showing you my denim jacket with one rhinestone on it and saying, check out
rhinestone
my bedazzled.
Bedecked.
Yeah, that's barely bedecked.
Yeah, that's not bedecked at all. Wow, I'd love to watch some of these minor league baseball games when they're in these crazy alternate identities. If I wanted to go over there and see them, I'd have to catch a plane. It's time for Plainly Speaking. It's time for Plainly Speaking.
This is your captain speaking. Please return your seats to their upright positions as we are coming in hot on another edition of Plainly Speaking.
This is from CNN. Cabin pressure issue on Delta flight causes bloody ears and noses for passengers.
Oh, no.
That's bad. You never really, like, when you're on a plane, I mean, maybe you do. I'm not a particularly nervous flyer, but like, you're not really thinking about the environmental hazards that are immediately just beyond the walls of the plane.
Oh, I am constantly.
Yeah.
You got to pick up some new worries, brother.
Temperature. I've got.
It's best not to think about what's out there. Honestly.
Yeah.
I often think, I look out on the wing and I go, hey, what if I was hanging on to that bad boy? What if I was out there hanging on to the wing? That would be probably a terrifying thing. It'd probably be like really like super windy out there and sort of like shaking all about.
And I'd
be just like holding off for sheer terror. Just sort of like not even having the time to process my rapidly evaporating mortality before I slip and fall into the void.
Huh. And so you're picturing this in your
head? I am a little.
One of our flights back, I think maybe our flight from Sydney to Brisbane, like our literal last flight of the holiday, we were sitting next to an unbelievably nervous flyer, like a guy in his probably like mid-20s who he didn't have a book, he didn't have anything on his phone, he wasn't listening to any music. Just like any time the plane moved even slightly, he was jumping like crazy.
Just grabbing like fingernails sinking into the armrests.
Yeah.
I was on a flight once, we landed and a guy across the aisle immediately pulled out the sick bag and barked. It's just a response I've never seen in my life.
I've been holding it in. Some Delta Airlines passengers are recovering after a pressurization issue on a flight from Salt Lake City, Utah to Portland, Oregon, which caused bloody noses and other issues, according to airline and passenger statements. Quote, we sincerely apologize to our customers for their experience on flight 1203 on September 15th, said a statement from a Delta spokesperson. The flight crew followed procedures to return to Salt Lake City, where our teams on the ground supported our customers with their immediate needs, the airline said. Flight 1203 passengers were accommodated on another aircraft. Delta technicians fixed the pressurization issue on the aircraft, the airline said, and the plane was returned to service the following day.
We are working to return the blood to our customers' heads as soon as possible.
Yeah.
Karen Allen told CNN affiliate KSL that it didn't take very long for passengers to notice something was wrong on the flight. Quote, I looked over at my husband and he had both of his hands over his ears, you know, kind of leaning forward, Allen said. I looked about a row behind me over on the other side of the aisle and there was a gentleman that clearly had a very bad bloody nose and people were trying to help him, Allen told the outlet.
You went on the curse plane.
Fellow passenger JC Purser said it felt like someone was stabbing her in the ear. Quote, I grabbed my ear and I pulled my hand back and there was blood on it, Purser said. This is not bad.
Oh, you didn't pay the no bleeding ears add-on.
You wanted a fully pressurized cabin? Wait, do you think this is overpressurized or underpressurized? What would cause a
underpressurized, right? What's happening here? Did they run over like a homeless person on the runway who happened to also be like a witch?
Yeah, that was probably what it was.
Yeah, like from Thinner.
Yep.
Yeah.
Man, this is just such a... This is a real body horror thing to me. Something like that where there's nothing you can immediately like... If you get a cut on your arm, you can go, you know what? I'm going to put a Band-Aid on that or whatever. Yeah. Blood coming out of your ears? That for me is...
Because you're going to want to put your finger in your ear straight away.
Yeah,
but that's going to feel bad.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
No serious injuries were reported, but medical personnel identified 10 individuals in need of evaluation or treatment following the flight. Federal Aviation Administration said it will investigate. Imagine you're like one of the people in that flight that didn't have any problems, and all of a sudden, all the people around you, like there's blood streaming from their ears and nose.
You kind of wake up in that part of the flight where the nose tips down, and you're like, Oh, boy. I just slept through that one.
You take your headphones out.
There's just blood streaming from the eyes of the passenger next to you.
I'd just be like, oh, everyone gets attention except for me, as usual.
Yeah.
That's fucked up. That was probably an episode of the podcast.
I'd say so.
Punta Vista, thank you so much for joining us. We loved having you here. As always, consider signing up to the Patreon. We do two of these episodes a week. And I got to tell you, we don't try and pressure people into listening to the bonus episodes. But last week, we did an update on the Stinkin' Centra story from the free episode last week. And you're going to want to hear what happened. It's $5 a month.
You're going to want to hear it.
You could look it up, but... You know, wouldn't you like to hear us talking about it? If you don't want to pay us any money, please Google it. You might struggle to find it a little bit because, as far as we can tell, it's not been reported in the news, but the information is out there. And if you do want to sign up, it's like the price of a beer a month. It's like nothing.
Yeah. We drink that beer, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Basically mentally transferring a beer to us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't you and we appreciate it.
Put a beer in our hand.
We work so hard. And just at the end of the day, that beer that you pay for, it tastes so good. Stay safe out there. Have a lovely week. We'll talk to you real soon. Bye.
Bye-bye. Try not to bleed out of any of your holes that you don't want to.
As best you can.